He translated that word tablets to the English word tabloid. Now, he come from England. So he thought, newspaper, let's do a newspaper. And so that's what he did. And he said, oh, yeah, let's do a newspaper. So away he went. So he looked at, and then funnily enough, he came up with the name Challenge, not knowing that there was already a Challenge newspaper in England, a gospel newspaper. And they helped us to get going.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was, I mean, you just see the providence of God, Byron. You just think, how does that work? And I just think, okay, I thank you, Lord, but that was how it worked. And so they helped us get off the ground.
The vision of Challenge, the good newspaper, is to clearly communicate Jesus Christ and his plan of salvation for mankind to all people. Hi, and welcome to this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint here on the Bot Radio Network. I'm Byron Tyler, and I'm looking forward to having our guest back in the studio all the way from down under, Carl Carmody, who is with Challenge Good Newspaper. He is the editor of that paper. Carl, it is so good to see you, brother.
It's really nice to be back, Byron. It really is. It's been a while, but yeah, it's nice to be back in the big smoke of the U.S.
So is there something that you enjoy while you're here? Is there a food you like to eat? Oh. We don't have many kangaroos here. But
No, well, I enjoy eating, but I'm very conscious of controlling my eating.
Yes.
Because there's so much lovely food here. And my favorite restaurant, can I confess to it?
Oh, please.
Cracker Barrel. I love going to Cracker Barrel. It's one of my favorite restaurants. And it's just, I just love the home cooking.
Is there not a Cracker Barrel in Australia?
No. Oh, goodness, no.
Oh,
no,
my goodness.
No. And it's so reasonable, the prices, you know, for food. It's very good, actually, Byron.
If we were to franchise a Cracker Barrel in Australia, how would it go over, do you think?
Well, I think it would do well, because if it looks at charging what it charges for food here, I think it would be seen as a lower cost food restaurant. And the variety of food, I mean, I just had my last one. I was up in Ohio with U.S. Director Andrew Trezona, and we went and I had some lovely meatloaf. What a beautiful meal. And it was really nice. But yeah, I think it would do well, but it's just a matter of setting it all up and see how it goes.
So Cracker Barrel is really that home cooking, southern home cooking, which is what we like here in the South. Mm. So what would be considered home cooking in Australia?
Steak and chips. Well, stuff like that. We're very much similar to the US, and we have similar problems to the waistline issues. But we like food. We're exactly the same. And I notice in Australia now we're eating out a lot more than we used to.
So you were trained in TV and film, and I think also radio. You did some radio broadcasting.
Yeah, I did. I did my degree in film and television journalism at Curtin University. And so I took up a job, just as an aside job, with 6NR, which is the Curtin University radio station. And it's called Six New Radios, what NR stood for. And so I did that for a number of years. And I really loved radio, but I wasn't a Christian. I became a Christian at the age of 25. So I'd graduated out of Curtin University, came to know the Lord at 25 at a school canteen through a lady who ran the canteen. I mentioned that last time I was here. And then Eric Evans, who's the founder of Challenge, heard through another friend of his that he knew of me and that I'd done my training in journalism. So, so that was how it all started.
And it's interesting because Eric made a commitment to Christ later in his life. Yeah. I mean, he was about 40, I believe, served in the British Navy during World War II, continued to work at sea, first in the UK and then after migrating to Australia.
Yeah.
He became a lay preacher after his conversion. Give us more of his story, because I think it's pretty fascinating.
Well, he was an amazing fellow. I mean, he came to know the Lord close to 40, 38. Almost straight away, he had this desire to share the gospel, and that's what he did. So he was out sharing the gospel. He said, now I need something to share the gospel with. And one of the areas that most people would think, oh my goodness, I don't want to do that, he loved doing door-to-door, which made him really unusual, Byron. You know, it was one of those sorts of things where you think, I think door-to-door is about the next best thing to the plague. You know?
Yeah.
But he loved it and was really good at it. And he thought, I need something that will help me engage people at the door, and something that doesn't look religious, doesn't look threatening. So he came up with the idea of a newspaper. Now, look, think about this. He wasn't a journalist, basically no writing skills.
He's a seaman. Yeah.
He's on no training. He's a lay preacher, and he got better and better. I mean, his preaching was excellent. And so when you look at that, you think, now how on earth is that going to work out? But God has his ways. He really does. And when I came into the work, he was such a blessing to me. And he died the 7th of September, 1989. I remember as though it were yesterday. And I actually miss him to this day.
Well, there was a verse in Habakkuk chapter 2 that really inspired him.
Yes. Yeah, write the vision down for it is for an appointed time. So he said, write it on tablets. Now, when you read in Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, for though the vision tarry, wait for it will happen. But he translated that word tablets to the English word tabloid. Now, you come from England. So he thought, newspaper. Let's do a newspaper. And so that's what he did. And he said, oh, yeah, let's do a newspaper. So away he went. So he looked at, and then funnily enough, he came up with the name Challenge, not knowing that there was already a Challenge newspaper in England, a gospel newspaper. And they helped us to get going.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was, I mean, you just see the providence of God, Byron. You just think, how does that work? And I just think, okay, I thank you, Lord, but that was how it worked. And so they helped us get off the ground and got us going. And then one thing I will say, the first edition of the paper, he never let me see it because he thought it was terrible. So he just said, I'd love to see it. But anyway, he did a great job.
Did you have any reservations at all accepting Eric's invitation to join the Challenge?
No. Now, look, here was the thing. I'd graduated. I'd been out of Curtin University about a year, and I'd taken up a job as – I used to love doing landscape gardening. So I was a gardener and so on by trade. Landscape gardening, I loved it. So I took up a job with the school. But I'd just been praying as to what the Lord wanted me to do. So my goal was to get into radio, much the same as yourself, Byron, to get into radio, not necessarily Christian radio, but radio. Anyway, the end result was that I'd been at Whiteside Primary School probably about a year. Anyway, Eric came out to the school and he said, I just wanted to have a chat with you. And it's because he'd rung me and I said, okay. He said, I'd like to invite you to come in and be part of the work. Now, he said initially, well, why don't you just come in and start working part-time, which I did in July of 1982, came in full-time in March of 1983. You know, I just felt that was what the Lord wanted. Now, in the meantime, the lady who'd led me to the Lord, Patricia, I'd met her daughter, Carolyn, and so we've been married 41 years now. Then we'd been engaged to be married, so I thought, wow, this is, we're engaged to be married. I'm thinking, I'm coming to a faith ministry work. Now, Eric had said, oh, yes, we'll pay you so much a week and so on. Well, the day I got in there, I knew straight away. It was not going to happen. Now, this was the thing. I knew God had called me. So therefore, I just said, okay, Lord, I'm yours. I'll just do what you want me to do, and I know you'll take care of the funds. And that's what's happened all those years. And the Lord's provided for us in all sorts of ways. I mean, I'd go to my letterbox and someone would stick an envelope in there with cash in it. You know, you're thinking, nowadays, you're thinking that's madness.
Oh, my.
So it was lots of things like that, Byron, that I saw God at work. And it just proved to me that we worship a living God.
Amen. You know, it seems like there's that step of faith that God calls us to. It's a relationship of faith. Well, matter of fact, in Hebrews, it says, without faith, it is impossible. What?
Yeah, to please him. Yeah, so for those who seek, you must believe that he is a person, he's real, that he's there. He's and so when I just stepped out in faith, and I don't know how many times we proved God in most difficult of circumstances, and then Carolyn was still working, so we had something coming in, but then we had Hannah on the way, our first daughter, and then she stopped working altogether, so we didn't have anything coming in the door. So, well, in a sense, formally, right. But God was bringing money in all sorts of ways.
So when you first started the job at the Challenge, you didn't start as the editor?
No. Eric stayed on as the editor for the first year. And then he very slyly abandoned ship and he said, I'm going to go out on the road and do promotion. So now I've just handed over, just to put you in the picture, I've just handed over the editorship of the paper to Harriet Coombe. So now I've taken on the position, I'm just maintaining the position of global CEO. I don't like using titles. I'm not a great fan of them. But Harriet is unbelievably good at what she does. Wow. And she did ministry with YWAM, so she knows what the faith ministry looks like and so on. But you couldn't ask for a better person to take on that role. And we're seeing stuff like the South Africa now coming on, developing self-sufficiency. We just appointed a new couple there. And then we're looking to appoint another couple. We're going to be working with another couple of ministries in Malawi. And we've changed ship with folks in Kenya and, on it goes.
Oh, so exciting. Hmm. What, Carl, do you think is the biggest challenge to the work that you do at the Challenge?
Probably, I think, the perception that everything is digital. I think that's probably, a lot of people say, they pick up a paper and they look at it and they say, it's a paper. Yeah. And they say, no one reads papers. Now, that's the first mistake that people make. People do read newspapers. What we find is that, if you want to do it digitally, that's fine. Now, what we're finding, Byron, I don't know what it's like if you talk to people. You hear people say, we get so much stuff digitally online. And I watch people just scroll through all this stuff.
Yeah.
And they think, and they go into mindless, mode. And so I say, well, no. What you need to understand is that when you give someone a paper, so I come along and I give you a paper. I said, here you go. And then I engage you personally. and talk. And I said, now, you notice we're a good news newspaper. So when I was working with the GIC, we did a Saturday morning door-to-door. We did not get one knockback from anybody on the doors. And then we had, you know, conversations with people and say, oh, look, we specialize in good news. I know you're in shock. Now, don't keel over. And they'd just smile. And they'd say, oh, really? Yeah. And I said, yeah. And I said, it's just how God has changed people's lives and so on, and away we'd go. So we had people who came out with us and say, yeah, the paper really makes it easy. I can't believe that, you know. And I said, well, I told you so. this is the thing, you know, and it's just helping people to see it. So when you look at some of the things that churches make certain assumptions that are simply not true, you know. So the idea of everything's digital, okay, that's fine. I went to a Christian Missionary Alliance church on Sunday in Lebanon. They do a great job, and their online presence is great. But again, when I spoke with the lady for evangelism, I said, now, it's getting everybody here in the church to connect.
Yes.
You know, with their vineyard area. So what street are you in? What suburb are you in? If I did a survey of your area, for example, how many people do you think would know that this church exists? And most people say, oh, well, everybody knows we're here. And I said, well, if I'm reading statistics right back home and here, probably 70 to 80%, if not more, have no idea that you exist. And even with the big churches like Bellevue or Germantown or something like that, and people say, do you know where Germantown Baptist Church is? And you'd probably find, if you did a survey of the area, you'd probably find people say, who? People look at you and say, oh, no, that's not the case. But I've seen the research done.
Right.
And I can think of, let me give you one illustration. When I was in New Zealand, I was in a small town called Clevedon, which is just outside the Auckland metropolitan area, just south of Auckland. And I was speaking with a Presbyterian pastor, and I said, you know, one of the reasons that we do the Challenge newspaper is to develop your presence in the general community and then a profile into a home. Who are you? Where are you? And what do you do that relates to the non-Christian? And he said, oh, it's interesting you raised that, Carl. I said, why? Well, the problem is, he said, that I've been here 10 years and I realized we're just not cutting it. So they decided to do a survey of the township, which is about 2,000 people. And they had about 16 questions, which is way too many in my books. But anyway, two stuck in my mind. So I got back home and I rang him after they'd finished the survey. And two questions. The first one he asked was, do you know where your local Presbyterian church is? 95% had no idea. Now, he said, think of it this way, Carl. We're in a township of 2,000 people. We're in the main street of Cleveland, and we're the largest building in town. Now, you would have thought we would have been a shoe-in, because people assume, oh, look at this, we're a big building, everybody knows us. But no, you just melt into the background.
Yeah.
Then the second question they asked was, do you know of any of the particular programs or things that we do as a community service? 97% had no idea. So he goes back to his church, holds a meeting, and he's talking away about this, and a guy at the back puts up his hand. And what is it, Jim? What do you want to say? He said, look, Pastor, he's an older guy. As far as I'm concerned, everybody knows what we do, and everybody knows where we are. And he said, Jim, that may be our perception, but clearly what we've just done shows that that's not true. And I think a lot of churches would have a reality check here if they suddenly realize, oh. And here's the other thing, Byron. A lot of churches, you'll find, so where do you come from? Oh, I come from somewhere at the other end of Memphis, and I come from this part of Memphis. So they don't develop any presence or profile right where the church actually is. And so that creates its own problems.
Well, I totally agree. And even I host another show called Pastors Forum, and really the purpose of that, too, is to help expose listeners. They pass these buildings all the time. And maybe they pay attention, that's a church, but not knowing the details. But we try to obviously open the doors to that church through the interview with the pastor so people can hear. So it's done obviously in a digital format through radio.
Yep.
But I see, you know, the need, because I totally agree. I don't think people for the most part care what that corner church is. It's just a building at the stoplight, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I can see your point there. I really can. And I know that you, in through this paper, it's all stories of life change. And it's so beautiful. Are there a few stories that have come across your desk that have moved your heart the most? Probably literally hundreds, if not thousands of stories
that have been
printed in the Challenge.
Nothing comes to mind, Byron, but I mean, I just find that stories are a great way to communicate the gospel. You know, when someone shares their life story, they bare their soul, if you will. And I think some of the testimonies that we run are pretty frank, you know, about where they ended up. You know, I decided to say no to God, and 3 years later, I was in a place like Memphis Union Mission or somewhere like that, you know, and my life was a train wreck.
I mean, you're talking about bouncing back from depression, healed from abusive drugs, moving out of the state of suicide.
Yes.
These are real life human issues that people face. where people have been rescued through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and their stories are found in this paper. Mm. You've got the best job.
Well, it's, you know, those sort of lines that you just read are just spot on, because what we do is people communicate their story. So it's a life story, as we like to say, and sharing about what happened. And we have four questions that we ask when we're dealing with. So if I'm coming to you, Byron, I want your testimony. I'll ask, what was your life like before you became a Christian? How did you get interested in becoming a Christian? Now, here's the next one. It's really important. How did you actually make that commitment? So often they skip that. And I say, whoa, backtrack. You know, you were looking for become a Christian. How did you actually do it? And we had one guy, you'll laugh at this. He said, I couldn't find anywhere quiet, so I went to the toilet and locked the door, you know. And I said, okay, well, that's fair enough. You know? And so that was it. But, you know, you have a situation that where you look at that and you say to yourself, okay, where are we going with this? So then the fourth question we ask is, how has your life changed since you became a Christian? Now, the reason we ask that is what we see in a lot of our churches is we want to rush the process of evangelism. And because it's a process, pray, sow, water, reap, disciple. Now, it depends. I'm witnessing to you. Now, you might be at the watering side of things, but then next week we meet for a coffee in a restaurant, and then we say, okay, have you reached the point where you want to commit your life to the Lord? So there in a Panera Bread, we've got a coffee each other, and I just lead you in a prayer of commitment. Now, the reason I raise this is a lot of churches want to rush the process. Yeah. Well, if you just want to make a commitment, so then people make a commitment, and then they say, well, why did I make a commitment? What was the reason for making that commitment? And it's not because I was convicted of sin that I realized my life was a train wreck, right, and so on, but it's just someone said, oh, well, I need to make a commitment, all my life will change. Well, no. Backtrack and take it from there. Yes. So you're praying for a lost person, then you're sowing that seed, so you give them something like challenge, and then you want to water it. You might give them more challenge. You might use something else, and so on. So seeing the process of evangelism is critical to quality evangelism.
Well, in the Challenge Edition number 456, I'm sure you've memorized Challenge Edition 456, Carl, there's an article about the fossils rock the boat with powerful evidence of the reliability of the Bible. Do you recall that story?
Yes, I do. Yes, yeah. But I find for me, the reason we run a lot of this type of story, let me just backtrack a little bit if I can. I visited a pastor and spoke with him about Challenge down in the southwest corner of Western Australia. We got onto the subject of the paper, and he said, oh, I really like the paper. He said, but I don't like this. The subject was dealing with creation and so on. So the end result was that he said, oh, look, I'm a scientist. So I said, yeah, so what? Well, you know, I know things. So I said, yeah, so I'm trying to get out. So you're a scientist. So what are you telling me? Now, he's a pastor. Anyway, we had a discussion, so on. He left. He then deliberately got the order cancelled. 2 months later, he left that church and went up into the Northern Territory. And I thought, what a disingenuous act to do. But what it made me do was, tell you what, I'm really cheesed off with this. I don't know if you have that expression here, but I was not a happy camper. And so I said, we're going to do a whole page on creation. That's it. We're going to do a whole page on creation. That's it. And people said, well, you can't do that. I said, why not? And they said, because one of the big things that's really close to my heart, Byron, is the whole idea of six-day creation. We unashamedly put it into the paper, and we run testimonies of it and how people have come to know the Lord through it and so on. So when you look at the fossil side of things, and not that I'm suggesting you're a fossil, Byron, I'm not suggesting that. But
thank you, Carl.
But, I mean, it just so stirred my heart. I mean, if I was to say to you I was mad, I was.
Well, you know, I think, too, Jesus in his ministry, ask a lot of questions.
Yes.
And I think we need to help people to ask questions. Like you said, it's a process.
Yes.
And asking questions. And sometimes people are going to be obviously resistant. I was just thinking back, even as a young teenager, how resistant to the gospel I was, because I had people trying to share the gospel with me.
Yes.
And I didn't want to hear it because I wanted to live my life. But it was a process that God kept chipping away lovingly, kindly, through relationships and people that were willing to engage me. And to finally, I had that encounter where, okay, I see my dark heart and my sinfulness, and God, you're the only way, Savior, I can have to redeem me out of myself. And so, yeah, I totally see that. But
yeah, it was the same for me, Byron.
Exactly.
I when I saw what I was like, I felt about half an inch tall.
Yes.
I just thought, oh my goodness. I've never felt so humbled in all my life. I just thought, Lord, why would you even save a wretch like me? I was humbled.
When the paper is put together, edited, and all the stories, how much time does that take? And then from the time it goes to print to all the distribution outlets?
Now, that's a very good question, because normally what we'll do is we're doing, so now, just to give you an idea, we do Australia, so we do a main edition for Australia. South Africa, we do a main edition, prison edition, military edition, and we're now going to do a women's edition.
Now, you still do a prison edition?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So here we do a main edition, prison edition, and we do a Hispanic edition. Then we've just taken on doing a Philippines edition. We're about to do an Indonesian edition, and so on. So you have to have the blackboard or the whiteboard where we're working is just as like this. So we have to run on oiled wheels.
Right.
So we do a combination. I've got three journos working on the issues of the paper, writing stories. Then we have other guests and other writers who write for us. And then, so that takes a lot of things. So Harriet Coombe, who's our new editor now, she's sort of marshalling all those people. And so from woe to go, once we've got all the material, it takes about a week to do an edition. By the time we get it all done, get it all sorted and goes through all the different, and we send it through quite a process for proofing. So then we've got to send it off when we're doing the Spanish edition, proof it for us, check it for us, da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
Then we get the AOK. When we're doing the Philippines edition, the Tagalog version, now we're doing the Indonesian version. It's our first one coming up pretty soon. And I'm meeting with some people when I get back home. I'm back home on the Wednesday. I've got a meeting on the Thursday. I think my wife's telling me my life insurance is at risk. And so all of that sort of stuff. So
that's in jet lag too, right?
Well, I don't have time for jet lag. It's just the way it is. So all of these different editions take time and doing it really well. And you can see, I mean, it's a very high quality production that we do.
Yes, it is.
We print on offset paper, not newsprint. So it doesn't discolor or anything like that. And it feels nice. So it takes a lot of work to do it.
When you talk about printing in the different languages, is all this sourced there in Australia, or do you have printing locations like here in the US, in the Philippines, and how do you do that?
Yeah, now we have all of the different printing areas. So we print in South Africa, we print in Kenya, we print in Australia, we print in England, we print in the US and Indiana. And the folks there, I haven't had a chance to talk to them, but I reckon they're Christian. They really love printing our paper. And so it's lovely when you have people like that, Byron, who are on board. So yeah, so we printed all the different places around the globe, plus in Australia as well.
And so you've got writers, but you have to have a way to engage people's stories.
Yes.
So how do you get the word out about we're looking for stories?
Well, we push that out online, plus we do it through our newsletter and so on, that we put out a small newsletter. And so what's good about that is then we'll get people come back, oh, look, I'd like to share a story. And people will send it to us often. They'll see the paper, they'll send us a story. And then we do a lot of interviews. So I'll get Janice, who's our sub-editor, and she'll stay at home. She'll do an interview at home, and then she'll do all the notes and all the stuff. And then we'll come in and they'll do interviews in the office. So lots of different ways of doing it. We have different publications that we get where we borrow stories from each other. So UK borrow from us, we borrow from them because we're running the same thing. So we have lots of different means of drawing in stories into a particular edition.
And about how many stories typically will go into one edition?
Well, for one edition like this, you're looking at about maybe six testimonies, and then you'll have other gospel articles. Then, of course, one of the, I think, most significant aspects of the paper are the children's pages.
Yeah.
And Bob Walker, who's been my lay-down guy for nearly 40 years, does an incredibly good job with the children's pages. So that's hugely resource demanding, you know, to get the right themes and so on. And you'll see what he's done for Easter in this edition as well.
So, I noticed that in these editions, too, there is a place here where the gospel is explained. So somebody would like to come to faith in Christ, if they God's working in their heart, they can see the steps to do that.
That's right.
You get response from those?
We do. Oh, yes, absolutely. So the beauty of that is you see on page 11 there, you'll see we have the commitment slip. So we explain the gospel, and then we have what we call ABC. Admit that you're a sinner, believe that Jesus came and died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin, and then you need to commit your life to Christ. Now, there's a bit more in there than that.
Yes.
But then we have all the explanation there, and then people can write in, send us their information, and so on. So then we'll send them out a discipleship literature and so on. And if the paper is stamped on the back, we're in that little box, then we contact the church, and we say, look, we've just had a commitment from this person. We've sent them initial discipleship stuff. Would you please follow them up? So the old story is whoever does the fishing, it gains the blessing.
A church, say a church here in Memphis, wants to partner with the challenge.
Yes.
They could distribute the challenge through their church ministry and stamp on their information about content. Is that how it works?
Yeah, and we can actually go one better. So let's say now we get a church orders 1,000 copies. Our printer will actually, what we do for our headquarters church in Lebanon, Ohio, Urban Crest, we put Urban Crest Baptist Church on the front, And then we do all, we print on the back here, Urban Crest Baptist Church, the website, phone numbers, all of that sort of stuff that they need to know. And in some cases, you'll get churches put a QR code on there and it takes them straight to the church's website. To me, it's simple, it's easy, it's doable, Byron. Yeah. You know, it's not rocket science, really. And using something like this helps everybody to be an evangelist. Who's your one? Mum, dad, brother, sister, friend, neighbor, work colleague, whoever.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Carl, is somebody listening to us here on the program today, they would like to share their testimony.
Mm. They can simply, if they want to, just send me an email. My email address is easy. It's just C-A-R-L. So it's carl@challengenews.org. But if you just want to see all the different editions, go to challenge.news, and that will give you all the various editions that we're doing. And I mean, if you told me when I first came into Challenge that we'd be doing what we're doing now, I would have said, whatever you're smoking, buddy, you need to get off it.
Oh, Carl, this has been great. Thank you so much. Anytime that you're here in the U.S., and you're in Memphis, this is an open invitation.
Thank you.
Always welcome. So glad that we have this fellowship here. I always enjoy the time you're here with us in the studio.
Thank you, Byron. It's just a pleasure to come, mate. It really is. Thank you so much.
Well, we're going to have to say goodbye, friend, on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. Thanks so much for stopping by. I'm Byron Tyler here on the Bot Radio Network, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
If you would like to listen to today's show again, go to botradionetwork.com and look for Mid-South Viewpoint under the broadcast tab. Some shows have video of the interviews as well and can be viewed at Byron Tyler Radio on YouTube or on our Bot Radio Network mobile app.